morning, church. And thankful to have our youth up here. Again, grateful to have youth that want to serve within our church. Amen. And let's encourage them and love them well as they do that. So grateful for them. Also want to say hello to my friend Brad. Brad is a fellow pastor, and I'm glad that you're here today. And his church partnered with our youth and did some event stuff right here. And so we're grateful. Good to see you, my friend. Great man of God and loves the Lord. We mentioned it earlier, but I wanted to say this again. Don't miss next week. Next week is going to be a special Thanksgiving service. I like the idea of having two sermons, so we're going to keep doing that. 40 minutes apiece. Is that okay? All right. What's football? Let's hear the word. But no, it is going to be a special time. We're going to look at one passage. But we're going to look at it throughout the service, and it's just going to be a good time. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together, where we remember and give thanks to Jesus, the one who gave it all for us. Right, church? So we're going to do that. It's going to be good. Invite others to be a part of that. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I hope you have those. Open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 9 today. If you need a Bible, we've got some for you at the back. That can be our gift to you. But 2 Timothy chapter 4. Today is our last sermon, our last Sunday in our Be Strong series. For the last few months, we've been walking through 2 Timothy verse by verse, where we've been encouraged and challenged in our walk with Jesus. God uses the Apostle Paul to write this letter to Timothy, Pastor Tim. Paul had spent many years in training and pouring into Timothy, but it wasn't just a Paul-Timothy scenario. They were close friends. They were partners in the ministry and in the gospel. They had a very close relationship. And in this letter, Paul writes to Timothy, but also to the church, to encourage them to remain faithful, to be strong in your walk with Jesus. Timothy at this point was pastoring a church in Ephesus. That was a hard job at that point. He was dealing with some difficulties both inside and outside the church. He had false teachers that they were dealing with on the inside, and then on the outside they were dealing with great persecution. The culture they were in was greatly opposed to Jesus and the followers of Jesus. And so Timothy and the church are being encouraged by Paul, but also challenged to remain faithful, to be strong, to stay at it. Church, let's be honest. We live in a culture that seems to be moving further and further away from the Lord and from the truth of God's word. We live in a world that offers us too many distractions other than Jesus. But in 2 Timothy, we're reminded that no matter what we face, God is calling you and me and everybody that's online listening. He's reminding us that no matter what we face, He's calling us to be strong, to stay committed to our walk with Jesus, to endure and remain faithful. Last week in chapter 4, verse 5 through 8, we saw Paul speak about what it looks like to make the most of our life. When we think ahead and we look at tombstones, that little dash in between the birthday and death day, what does your life represent? Did you make the most of your life for Christ? And then he goes and he talks about the life that he lived, the life that was poured out completely for Jesus. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And then Paul, as he gets to close out his letter, he's going to get super personal. He's going to leave us with a few things to know and remember as we live for Christ, both personally and as a church. And so would you guys join me in verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 4? If you're able, I would love for you to stand as we read God's word together. Let's honor God by standing. You guys follow along as I read. Here's what God's word says. Make every effort to come to me soon, Paul is writing to Timothy, because Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring him the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. Verse 16. At my first offense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that I might fully preach the word, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his kingdom, his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca, Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Aratus has remained in Corinth. I left Trophimus sick, and Miletus make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with you, and your spirit, grace be with you all. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, as we open up your word and hear from you this morning, we pray, Lord, that we would make much of you. We would set pride aside, we would set distractions aside, and we would hear from God this morning. God, change us, make us more like you. In Jesus, amen. You can be seated. Anybody in here is pregnant? There's a whole lot of words for you to use for your next child? Goodness. Most of you guys know that my family is from Kansas City, and we're part of a large family, an extended family. I always think about my wife's second date with me. I kind of threw her in the deep end. There's like 60 people at my parents' house on our second date. And she's still here at church. We did, okay? But our family is pretty close. And so when God moved us to Tucson, he also called my sister and her family down here. He moved Jessica's mom, you guys know Lynn, moved her down here. So that was amazing. But leaving Kansas City, leaving our family was hard. And one thing that made it easier was being able to connect. Right? There's a lot that goes along with technology that we're like, man, that's no good, right? But being able to connect through video chat, through social media, phone calls, those things made it better. But one thing that I loved receiving was letters from Grandma. Young people, letters is where they take paper and they write on there, dear so-and-so, and then they close it out. But anybody like getting personal letters? Okay? The rest of y'all just don't know what you're missing. Come on, man. But we would go out to our mailbox once a month, and we would find out a typed letter from her. She had difficulty writing, and so she types out her personal letters. And it's great because when she just writes out about all sorts of stuff, right? Just writes all sorts of stuff. It make, you know, if you're right, it wouldn't be something that we passed in like fourth grade, right? I mean, it's like it is all over the place. But she tells us what's going on. She tells us who's doing what, how everybody's doing. She tells us how much she's missing us, and that she can't wait to see us. She tries to fit in as much in that letter as possible. And I'm going to tell you, when I was studying this letter, I was thinking about the end of this letter. It reminded me of letters from Grandma. Right? Reminded of Grandma's letters, because here at the end, Paul, he gets personal. He tells Tim how much he misses him. He hopes to see him. He tries to tell him as much as he can about what's going on. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to walk through this text, and we're going to see what God has for us to learn and to apply to our lives. And so in Paul's last words, that's the title of our sermon, his last words, he begins his final closing in verse 9 by saying this to Timothy. He said, make every effort to come to me soon. Timothy, my life is almost over, so do your best to come and spend some time with me. If you're not familiar with what's going on, Paul has been arrested. He is in prison for preaching and teaching God's word and telling people about Jesus. And he's in a place known as the Mamertine Prison. It's still a place you can go and visit today. This was a prison for those that were waiting to be executed. Right? He's living out his last days. He's in a dark and damp cell, and you can still see it. You pull it up online, you can see there's just a small hole up at the very top so that you get a little bit of air and a little bit of light in there. And he finishes this letter. He's basically saying, Timothy, I'm about to go be with Jesus. I'd really like to see you, brother. Would you do your best to come and visit? Timothy and Paul had a special relationship. We see that both in 1 and 2 Timothy and in other passages as well. But we see all the way back in chapter 1, Paul talks about how much he loves him. He calls Timothy his child in the faith. We know that Paul had poured into him, both personally and spiritually. He discipled him and trained him. But church, they were also partners. They were co-workers in the gospel ministry. They spent a lot of time together. So there was a longing for Paul to see Timothy one last time. Church, we need to understand that Paul's ultimate desire was to see Jesus face to face. That's his ultimate desire. His greatest desire was to be with Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 1:23, he says, I long to be with Christ, which is far better. He's saying, I want to be with the one who made me and saved me and called me to follow him. We also see earlier in chapter 4, it says he loves the appearing of Jesus. He loves that Jesus is going to return for his people and for his church. But notice that even though Paul is about to go and be with Jesus for eternity, all that's going to happen soon for him, but yet he still longs to see his friend, his co-worker, his brother in Christ. Church, we've spent a lot of time, we've looked at this passage, we've spent a lot of time reminding Timothy, encouraging and teaching Timothy and the church to be strong, to remain faithful, to fulfill the ministry God's called him to do, to finish the race. But after that, Paul gets personal. And he says, hey, man, hey, son in the faith, make every effort to come and see me soon. Church, I think Paul is showing us something important. I think he's showing us that relationships matter. Relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ are important. We're going to see that as he continues to write. Paul shows the importance of relationship by asking of Timothy to do his best to come and see him. And then he gives us a contrast in verse 10. He says, make every effort, Tim, to come and see me soon. But then he transitions. He says, because Demas has deserted me since he loved the present world and has gone to Thessalonica. We don't know a ton about Demas, but we do know that he was Paul's companion. They were friends and they did ministry together. In Colossians chapter 4, we see that Demas was a part of the ministry team. Right? He was mentioned as serving with Paul and with Luke. He's also mentioned later in Philemon 24, along with Paul and Mark and Luke and some other guys. He was a man that had demonstrated in his life commitment to Jesus and to the gospel. That's who Paul knew him as. But here Paul says that Demas has deserted me. He's abandoned me. Church, I think we should pause for a moment and realize and admit that it hurts, it's difficult, it's painful when friends and companions are no longer there. It's painful when those who you've walked with in a close relationship, it hurts when they walk away no matter what the reason is. It's not always a sinful reason. It's not always a bad situation. It could be that God is moving them away or they've just been life-changing. They're just no longer a part of your life. And we're going to see that with Paul here in a minute. Paul has some other friends and co-laborers who are no longer with him. But look at this contrast. Paul is getting personal. He's saying, Timothy, I love you, man. I really want to see you, to be encouraged by you. But you're going to need to come soon to do your best to do that. And then that relationship, that love relationship that he has with Paul, that friendship is countered with the man who was also a co-minister, also a friend, but now, when he was needed most, he's abandoned Paul. Church, I think we need to realize that the decisions that we make don't just affect you. They affect others around us. Just think about this for a second and see something. Paul was a man, think about this with Paul. He was a man who started a bunch of churches. God used him to lead many people to Christ. He was a missionary. He was used by God to write a lot of the New Testament. He was a leader in the church, and he was a leader to other Christian leaders. Right? We might look at him and say, man, you're kind of a hero in the faith. You're kind of a big deal. Right? You've got it all together. But he's showing us here that he still needs others. Hear me clearly, church. We never move past, we never graduate from needing one another. We need to hear that today. Sometimes we get a little too big for our britches and we think, man, we don't need, y'all know what that means, right? Like my grandma said that, right? We're too big for our britches. We never graduate from needing others. Relationships are important. And one thing we can take away from this is that no matter how spiritual you may be, no matter how mature you think you are or how much you have accomplished, you need others. You were still not meant to do life alone. You were not meant to follow Jesus alone. You were created, all of us, first and foremost, to have a close and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. But don't forget that God made us to also have a relationship and a partnership with others, with those inside the church, with other brothers and sisters in Christ. When I think about our context here, right here at Authentic Life where we live, it can be so hard because we live in a very transient area. People are moving in and moving out on a regular basis. When we think about this church family, it's hard when people come to Authentic Life, right, and they become family, they become co-laborers in the gospel, they become your friends. And then God moves them. He's got different plans for them. So he moves them to Texas. I kind of just want to close off Texas, okay? Let's just say that. Like, it seems like our people, God is moving them to Texas. So we're just going to put a gate there you can't get in. Right? But they're moving, right? Their job moves them, or God moves them, whatever it is. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. If I'm being honest, that's really hard for me. But it's God's design for us to be family here at Authentic Life Church. We were meant to have that kind of relationship, to be co-laborers with one another, whether it's for a year, whether it's for a week, whether it's for, you know, 30 years. Are you with me? That we were made to be family. But when God moves others away to another city, it's hard for us. And I think it shows us that relationships really do matter. And I'm going to be honest with you. When we miss someone like that, you guys remember the Yates family? I hope so. They just left like 4 weeks ago, right? But, man, I was thinking about him this morning. I was thinking about him and Melanie. And I was just like, man, I missed him. He just texted me out of the blue this morning and said, I'm praying for all the black church this morning. Right? We're probably doing it right if we miss people when they leave. Are you with me, church? Right? And so knowing that relationships are important, know that as Christians, we're meant to do life and ministry together. You are not meant to walk alone. You're not meant to be isolated in this Christian life. Church, when we read from Ephesians, Hebrews chapter 10, where it says that we're not to have forsake the assembly of gathering together as a church family. We're not to forsake it. We're not to abandon that. That command isn't there to ruin your Sunday mornings. It's not there to mess up your schedule or to take up time throughout the week. It's there as a command for us, church, because God knows what's best. He knows that we need one another. God knows that relationships are important, that we need one another, right? You need others here in Authentic Life, and others need you. And in our text here, you have Paul, a brother of Christ, who is imprisoned. He's tired. He's probably vulnerable. He's nearing the end of his life, and he's begging for his friend to come and be with him, and he's been abandoned by another friend. We're going to talk more about why he deserted later. But in verse 10, Paul talks about others who had been with him. He says, Demas has deserted me since he loved the present world. Has gone to Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a lot like Tucson. It's a transient area. It's a place where it's just a place where people seek pleasure. Let's just call it that. And then he says, Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Paul has been with his friends and co-laborers, but now Demas is gone. But because Paul is still about the mission of Jesus, he sends out these other guys on mission. He sends Crescens to Galatia, and he sent Titus to Dalmatia, two faithful brothers, two co-ministers of the gospel. Paul sends them out to other areas that need to hear the gospel. He sends them out to other Christians that need their help. And these two men, they were close friends with Paul. And then if we look ahead to verse 12, Paul tells us of another one. He says, Tychicus was here, right? But I had sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Tychicus was also a faithful friend and co-laborer. Paul probably sent him delivered this letter to Timothy in Ephesus. So he has three friends and companions that are gone out on mission, and then he's got one friend that has abandoned him. But Paul says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He's not downplaying Luke, church. He's just saying relationships matter. I had all these guys with me. I only have Luke left. Tim, would you come and be with me? We know Luke, right? You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? God used him to write the gospel according to Luke. God had used him to write the book of Acts. Luke was a doctor. It's believed that he was a personal physician for Paul. It's been said of Luke here in the South Church that he was a tough friend for tough times. It's good to have that kind of friend, isn't it? A tough friend for tough times. He often traveled with and served with Paul. He often visited and attended to Paul while he was in prison. So Paul was glad to have Luke there with him. And then in verse 11, Paul talks about one more relationship. And church, I love this right here. He tells Timothy, if you're able to come, Tim, would you bring Mark with you? For he is useful to me in the ministry. When we think about relationships and partnerships and being co-laborers for Christ, this is important for us not to miss. It might not seem like a big deal that Paul said, hey, would you bring Brother Mark with you? But let's take a quick walk through the relationship between Mark and Paul. Paul's about to show us more about how important relationships are. So who is Mark? We know him as one of the guys that God used to write the gospel according to Mark, right? Again, in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was an eyewitness of Jesus. He was familiar with the life and the ministry of Jesus. We mostly call him Mark, but he's actually known as John Mark. That's going to be important for us here in a second. From a young age, Mark was given a lot of opportunities and privileges in ministry. When the church laid hands on and sent out Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey to go share the gospel, to go start churches, to go talk about Jesus, Mark was there with them. Are you with me, church? He sends them out. They go out on this first missionary journey, but something happens on that missionary trip. You can turn there or you can just look on the screen with me, but I'm going to go right through this. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 13. In verse 5, it says, arriving at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John, which is John Mark, as their assistant. So Mark was with them. He's assisting them. He's playing an important role as they were out sharing Jesus and preaching and starting churches. But something happened in verse 13. It says, Paul and his companions set sail for Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia, but John Mark, left them and went back to Jerusalem. Church, we don't know, the Bible does not tell us why Mark left. We do know that Paul is upset about it, right? He's not in favor of Mark just leaving them. In fact, Paul considered Mark leaving them as deserting them, right? And he believed that Mark abandoned them. We see that in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas. They're about to go back out on the field. The church is about, again, to send them out onto the mission field to go and visit the churches they had started, to go and encourage and disciple. And they're gathering and they're talking about how they're going to go out. In verse 37, it says, Barnabas wanted to take along John, who was called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with him to the work. They had a sharp disagreement that they parted company. They had such a sharp disagreement, they parted company. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. And we know that Paul took Silas and went a different direction. Church, we don't really know the details. We're not going to speak for the Bible in this case. We can't tell if Barnabas is right and Paul is right and Mark is right. We don't really know. But what we do know is there was a relationship there, and now there's a tension. There's a breakdown in a relationship here. Paul was either very frustrated with Mark, he was mad at him, hadn't been able to release that yet, or maybe he just simply thought, John Mark is not mature enough to go with us. He's not the right guy to go on this trip with us. And so, knowing that Paul and Mark were at odds with each other, knowing there was a breakdown in the relationship, but now, knowing all of that, we come back, Paul, in his last words, church. He asked for Mark. He talks about Mark. He said, he's helpful for me in the ministry. That's a beautiful thing, church. This is a restored relationship. Church, if you've been in a close relationship with family or friends or ministry partners for any length of time, you've had tension in those relationships. You've had breakdowns in those relationships. Why? Because we're messed up people, right? Maybe those tensions and breakdowns are short-lived. Maybe you're still walking through them. Maybe they've lasted a long time. And I would guess that all of us, most of us, have experienced that. And let's just be honest, there's no joy in that tension. There's no rejoicing in a relationship breakdown. But as the church, as Christ followers, let me be very clear. God calls you and me to pursue reconciliation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls us to pursue unity. Jesus himself says in Matthew 18 that when there is success in reconciling with a brother or sister, that you've won that brother or sister. Restored relationships are beautiful. They're God-honoring. They bring joy to your life. And so this is quite important for us to miss. Paul was saying here in his last writing, would you bring Mark? Church, that's a big deal. Would you bring Mark, for he's useful to me in ministry? Bible doesn't say this, so this is just your pastor just kind of imagining, okay? But I can imagine Timothy reading that, and the church hearing that, and having tears of joy knowing that two brothers in Christ have been reconciled. It's a reminder for us, if there's a relationship in your life that needs reconciling, because relationships matter to Jesus, you're to pursue that. If you're having trouble with that, bring someone along with you, but we're to pursue that. As we serve Jesus, as we're on mission for Jesus, church, please understand, relationships are necessary. You may be in a place where you feel like you don't need anyone. You may feel like the relationships here at Authentic Life aren't that important. I can forsake gathering together. It's not really that big of a deal. I don't really need to be that big of a part of the family. Church, there's two problems with that. One, it's disobedient to God. But two, when we find ourselves in a tough place, then you'll really understand just how important these close relationships are. Paul didn't distance himself from serving with and doing life with others. He pursued it. He saw the value of it. He was an encouragement to them, and others were an encouragement to him. And then, those close relationships that Paul built along the way, he says of them in his last days, right? He speaks of them in his last days, relationships with those in the church family, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Church, I know I've said this 14 times now, but they're necessary. They matter. We need each other. And then Paul, trying to get in as much as he can, he transitions a bit in verse 13, right? He says, when you come, Timothy, I think he's just assuming he's going to come. When you come, bring the cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchment. Paul's letting us in on his personal life. He says, Timothy, if you're able to come, would you bring my cloak? A cloak was a very expensive outer garment that they would use for both as a blanket and as a coat. It was kind of this big circle fabric deal, right? And it had a hole in the middle of it, so you put it over your head. What do they call those, like ponchos? Is that what that is? I don't wear a coat ever since I moved here, so I don't really know what that is anymore. I've seen some of y'all wearing parkas this morning, you know, like 60 degrees, y'all. Like, yeah, I see some of y'all wearing coats. But he's asking for it, right? I need my coat. I need my blanket. One of the reasons Paul is hoping that Timothy comes soon is because his life is ending. But also because winter's coming. And then he says this. He says, but bring the scrolls, especially the parchments. Sure, there have been lots of studies done, lots of papers written, lots of people speaking, trying to figure out what these papers and parchments and books are. But the truth is, we really don't know for sure. What we do know is how Paul and others normally used it. And so it's very possible that these parchments had accounts of Jesus' words and deeds on them. And so Paul wanted them. It's very possible that these parchments were written out the Word of God in the Old Testament, the truth of God's Word that had been passed down to them. It's possible that they were some other valuable Christian material, but it also could have been left blank. Why? So that Paul or others could continue to write on them. But the point is this. In this personal letter, Paul is sharing his personal needs with a loved brother in Christ. Again, we often see Paul as this superstar Christian, but this opens up the curtain for us a little bit to remind us that he's human. A person who has needs, a person who needs others. I love this quote. John Stott, a Christian author, says this about Paul and his request. When our spirit is lonely, we need friends. When our body is cold, we need clothing. When our mind is bored, we need books. And to admit this is not unspiritual, it's human. Men, I think we need to maybe read that again. Sometimes as men, we seem to act like we don't need help. Amen. Ladies, come on, help me out here. Okay, When we think about those whom we often hold high and we follow their example, we still need to remember that they're still people. They're brothers and sisters in Christ in need of friends, in need of practical things, in need of learning and growing. And I just love how personal he gets here. He's kind of all over the place, but I just love it. He's talking about relationships. He talked about his needs. And then in verse 14, he shifts again. And he gives Timothy a personal warning. I love that Paul never stops teaching, encouraging, and helping Timothy. He says this, Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Paul is releasing that. Right? He's given that to the Lord. But as he does that, he's also giving Timothy a warning. He says, watch out for him. Yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. Paul has told Timothy and the church, continue in what you've learned from Scripture. Guard the truth. Be in the Word of God. Preach the Word and the gospel faithfully. Pass it on to others. But Paul is pointing out to Timothy, you're someone who is in opposition to all of that. Right? We read this sometimes. We read about false teaching. We read about people not wanting people that are going to preach the Word of God in truth. But we need to know they're out there, church. Right? And he's saying, man, there's someone right here that's in opposition. Remember we talked about this last week. We're in a spiritual battle. Paul talks about false teachers, and now Paul is pointing one of them out. He says he's done great harm. He's strongly opposed our words. We don't know for sure, but many believe that Alexander, as a coppersmith, was an idol maker. Right? Probably an idol maker, making false gods for others to worship. So maybe this is the reason that he caused Paul harm, but Paul is giving Timothy an example, saying opposition is here. Stand firm, be strong, fight the good fight. So in closing, Paul gives a warning, but then he also gives Timothy and all of us a wonderful reminder. Church, don't miss this. Look at verse 16. At my first offense, more than likely he's talking about the time that he stood on trial before he was sent to be executed. He said, at my first offense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserved me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, when I was on trial, no one stood by me. Some abandoned me, some opposed me, and some were on mission and unable to be there with me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why did God strengthen Paul? What did he need to be strengthened for? It wasn't so he could lift more weights or win more races or anything like that, church. It was so that he might be continuing on mission for Jesus. It was so God that could use him to share the gospel. It was so that others could hear about Jesus, that Paul, the one that Paul is about to go be with, but don't miss this, church. The Lord wants to use you to spread the gospel. Are you with me, church? He wants to use you to spread the gospel. No matter who you are, if you're saved, he wants to use you to spread the gospel. He wants to use each and every one of us, and he will strengthen you so that you can do what he's called you to do. I think maybe Demas could have used this reminder, because Paul tells us that he had deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Too often, church, let's just have a moment of honesty here. Too often, things get hard. And instead of standing firm and being strong, instead of continuing to follow Jesus and stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ, too often we abandon our walk with Jesus and we abandon the church family that God has called us to be a part of. That's what Demas does here. He took his eyes off Jesus. He fell into the trap of pursuing the things of the world. Demas forgot that relationships with Jesus and with others mattered. Church, let's own something. People will hurt you. You will hurt people. Friends will mess up, and you will mess up. Relationships will break down. Hardship and persecution may come. But here, Paul's reminder that even when difficulties come, even when things seem barren, the Lord is with you, standing with you, and strengthening you. So that you can stand firm, so that you can fight the good fight, so that you can finish your race and keep the faith. I want to talk about us here in Tucson. Tucson is a very hard place to reach with the gospel. Not only because we're transient, but people in Tucson, we have this mountaintop theory. It's like, hey, you do me. Like, I'm equipment. That's, I get what I'm saying. Like, we all do our own thing. We all take our own path up to the top, but we'll all reach the mountaintop at some point. That's not what the gospel said. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. It's a hard place to reach. Amen, Brad? It's a hard place to reach. It's a hard place to reach, church. We live in one of the most unchurched, unchristian cities in the nation. It's a hard place to reach. It's a hard place to serve the Lord. Many people here need to know Jesus. And we say the task is too big for you and me to do. But God placed us here to work together to share the gospel. And I want to be super clear. He is standing here with us. He is strengthening you and me and empowering us to do what he has called us to do. And church, if we know this and we believe it, there is nothing that can stop God from using us to reach the city. So first and foremost, we live for our relationship with Jesus. It's a question for you today. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you got Sunday school pins and, you know, things in school like when you were growing up. I'm not talking about, you know, do you look the part. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Do you you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Have there been a time in your life that you said, God, I am a sinner. I am separated from you. I'm destined for a place called hell. I'm separated from what you have called me to do and be. Well, I've severed that relationship because of my sin. But Jesus, you came because you love me. You came to pursue a relationship with me. If you don't know Jesus here today, the Bible says very clearly that we just need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead after he died for us, church. The Bible tells us in that passage, Romans chapter 10, that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Not might be saved, not be saved for a little bit, but literally you will be saved. Amen. You'll be adopted into the family of God, church. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If not, don't leave today without knowing how to do that. Make that decision today to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Second, our relationship with others here in Authentic Life and with other Christians, they matter. We need each other, church. Church, too often we buy into two different lies. Number one is, I don't need Jesus. And we end up like this. If you've ever been to San Diego, you've seen this guy, the one-man band. And he stands there and he plays all these instruments. Remember him, Jessica? Man, he's super talented. But he's limited in what he can do. That's all he can do. He's limited. We become the one-man band when we isolate ourselves. But let me show you what God calls us to do. He calls us to be more like this. Where he is orchestrating everything that we do, and we sit there underneath him and his leading and his authority, we create the most beautiful sound that he created us to make, church. And he scattered all of us throughout this area of Tucson to reach people that I can never reach, or that you can never reach, or that you can never reach. We're scattered. The church is not just here. It's when we go out beyond these walls into our workplace, into our homes, into our parks, into our schools. That's who we were created to be. Not the one-man band. So do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And two, do you have a close relationship with the church family? If not, let's just be honest, church. It's not to be disobedient to what God calls to do. We need each other. Let's pray to God this morning.